Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Taking It Slow by Rhys Knightley. Narrated by Troy Duran. Infinity, a U.S. Army Special Forces, Black Ops, top secret military unit that provides help, domestic and foreign, and answers only to the Secretary of Defense. What we have done for ourselves alone dies with us. What we have done for others in the world remains and is immortal. Albert Pike. Chapter 1. Spencer.
Spence, hold your position.
Fuck that. He heard the order, but no way in hell was he stopping. The order sure as shit wasn't from his commander, and more importantly, he didn't fucking want to stop. Not when he was this close. The place was dark, but with his infrared goggles he could see well enough to pick out the perps ahead of him. The green glow of the room showed that a previous fire had pretty much demolished the first floor of the building. Darting across the warehouse toward a far hallway, several suspects opened fire. Spencer returned fire, dropping one perp, hitting him in the head. The guy crumpled to the ground just as Spencer barreled past the now dead body. Gunfire echoed, light flashed, and several bullets careened into the wall near his head. Another perp lunged out and charged at him. Spencer ran full out and dropped to his knees in a forward slide that propelled him toward the guy. The perp shot wildly and leapt over him. Spencer spun, landed on his back, and put a bullet in the guy's neck, the blood spurting across the floor. He didn't wait for the guy to topple to the ground. Rolling, he lunged up and ducked into the hallway that led to the second floor stairwell. Entering the stairwell, he took it upwards on silent feet. Reaching the landing, he eased open the door and surveyed the room. A shot rang out and wood chips and stucco flew near his head. He dove for cover. With a grimace, he swung his arm around the corner and fired his silencer-fitted weapon three times before leaping into the darkened room and behind a metal desk. A scuffle from midway into the room reached his ears, and then silence. Crouching there in the dark, he let his heartbeat settle for a few moments before he moved. The next suspect he came across lay prone on the ground. He placed his fingers to the perp's bloodied throat, but there was no pulse. Moving again, he ran hunkered over through the darkness and squatted next to another set of sprawled, dead bodies. Both suspects had knife wounds, precise slits across each one's throat. Link's handiwork.
"Spence, where the fuck are you?"
Eagle growled into his ear by way of the small, invisible mic.
"Three dead on the second level," he said as he finally broke his silence. "I'm headed to the south stairwell to the third floor."
"Fucker, I was just there,"
Link snarled into the mic.
"So I see," Spencer muttered, staring at the array of dead bodies.
Something crunched on the floor behind him, and he spun, jerking his arm up to deflect the 2x4 swinging for his head. His arm rang numbly and his weapon dropped to the floor near his feet. The wood was swung again and Spencer closed his fist around it and yanked, but there was no fucking give at all. The man holding the 2x4 was the size of a behemoth.
Great. Just once he'd like Link to take out the biggest guy in the room instead of as many perps as possible.
They wrestled with the piece of wood until it toppled to the floor. He kicked his leg upward trying to hit the guy in the balls, but a massive thigh deflected his attempt. Hands reached for his throat, and Spencer brought his arms up, knocking the man's hands away.
"Spence?"
"What?"
he snapped with a grunt when his back hit the wall. Instead of asking him questions, the fucker could have made his way up and helped him.
"I'm coming your way,"
Link warned. Spencer snorted and finally got his shot and kneed his attacker in the junk.
"Better watch your ass,"
Link warned. Spencer didn't snort that time. Link was lethal, a military mercenary that handled some of the worst assignments they came across. Things that involved such heinous crimes it would leave an ordinary person psychologically damaged. Even so, Link wasn't as menacing as Eagle. Eagle was known to toy with his perps before sending them to a slow, agonizing death. When his attacker groaned and cupped his ball, Spencer moved in. He gut-punched the fucker, and when the perp doubled over, he brought his knee up beneath the big man's chin, knocking the behemoth back. The guy crumbled to the ground on his back.
Spencer snatched up his weapon, tired of the fucking games. He bent over the guy and pointed the barrel right between the man's eyes.
You can die right here, right now, or you can roll over and put your hands behind your back.
The man blinked up at him and slowly turned over. The guy was too big for one zip tie, so he used three to cuff his wrists. Good enough. Using the edge of his shirt, he wiped the sweat from his forehead and surveyed the room before he made any move to track his team. They were a three-man unit known as Fury. Three elite soldiers working for the government of the United States. Fury got the job done in places that a bigger unit, such as Infinity or Phoenix, would bring too much attention. Spencer had joined Fury shortly after Christmas when a high-ranking military official had approached him and asked if he was interested in filling a vacant spot in an elite three-man unit. He'd grown up fighting for everything. It wasn't his thing to work with bigger teams, so hell yeah, he'd said yes. When he'd been briefed about the job, he'd immediately accepted. Anything to take his mind off Liam Cobalt and his offer to join Infinity. No way in hell did he want to be that close to the colonel.
I'm on my way to you both, Eagle warned.
Spencer made his way around a few torn-down cubicles and paused, assessing the darkened room. If this job had been a bit less high-profile, Infinity would have been asked to step in. As it was, this mission was so far beneath the radar, if Fury were caught, the military would deny they ordered the op. Fury handled criminals too traitorous to list on the FBI's most wanted list. These were criminals that attacked agents in retaliation. The son of a bitches would kill family members, gut babies, and skin the agent alive. And the fuckers had done just that to FBI agent Robert Frankfurt, his wife, and their newborn baby girl. Agent Frankfurt had gone undercover and had infiltrated Frederick Bowman's criminal organization. They were still trying to figure shit out. But regardless of how it had happened, Robert's cover had been blown and his family brutally murdered. Retired Brigadier General Luke Ryan had called Fury's commander in the dead of night. When a general of the United States called, retired or not, you fucking snapped the fuck up. It seemed that FBI agent Robert Frankfurt had been a close personal friend to the general. They'd grown up together. The orders? Find Freddy before the cops did, and make sure he never took another breath. After weeks of tracking the scumbag, the bastard had holed up in an abandoned warehouse near Vermilion Bay, Louisiana. The surrounding area was eerily quiet, and no law enforcement was coming to save Frederick Bowman. They weren't putting Freddy in the system. Darting from where he stood, he reached the end of the room. Spencer was completely camouflaged in black, so he didn't worry about being seen. His weapon with a suppressor attached was kept close to his body, no worse for wear from its topple to the floor. Through his infrared goggles, he surveyed the room. Faint whimpers caused him to squint, and he saw people huddled in corners and beneath tables. Some sat with wide eyes, hands pressed over mouths, tears staining their cheeks. So much for the warehouse being deserted. The fluorescent light flipped on and flickered overhead, bringing his head snapping around. Across the room stood Frederick Bowman with a hostage in his grip. They had finally cornered good old Freddy.
I'll kill her! I swear to fucking God! She's dead if you don't back up!
Freddy screamed at him. Leveling his piece at Freddy, Spencer stood his ground. Eagle suddenly appeared so fucking stealthily, he resembled a ghost. Link came up the stairs like a shadow.
What, dirtbag?
You gotta hide behind a hostage? You punk-ass bitch, Spencer snarled, edging closer, his weapon aimed at the guy's head, making sure he was the center of Freddy's attention. Freddy jerked his weapon up, the barrel aimed at him and away from the hostage.
Hey, idiot!
Eagle yelled, taking Freddy's attention from him. The weapon swung around and Freddy fired. Eagle grunted and fell back against the wall. Spencer's heart slammed against his ribcage and he felt a jolt of suspended disbelief as Eagle slid to the floor. The girl screamed and Freddy hid behind her head with a fist to her hair. He clenched his teeth, trying to get a clear shot. Link lunged forward and caught the perp by surprise. Grabbing Freddy by the hair, Link swung him around by his head and then sliced his throat open. Blood sprayed the hostage, who started screaming. When she stumbled, Spencer caught the sobbing woman. Freddy crumbled to the ground in a pool of spurting blood.
"No, you don't."
Link dropped to his knees next to Eagle, yanking open his shirt, feeling around the bulletproof vest. Eagle coughed and groaned.
"Oh, didn't know you cared."
Eagle gasped and coughed again.
"You fucker,"
Link snarled. Eagle glared and shoved Link back.
"Fuck you too."
"I had him,"
Link hissed, yanking Eagle to his feet. Eagle had a smidge more weight and used his bigger size to slam Link back against the wall before crowding in close with a glare.
"We work as a team, or you can hit the fucking door."
A muscle ticked in Link's jaw.
"Kiss my ass."
Rage made Link's voice sound hoarse. The soldier shoved Eagle away and headed across the room.
"Come on, Link,"
Eagle yelled.
"Don't leave."
Link flipped Eagle off before he disappeared.
"Let's go,"
Spencer said, guiding the woman out of the room. It hadn't been the first blow-up between them, and it wouldn't be the last. Link and Eagle were like oil and water. They called for help and took turns assisting people out of the building before EMS could arrive. The woman had grabbed his hand with a whisper of thanks. He'd pressed her fingers tightly. There was a shitload of drugs inside the warehouse. It looked like Freddy Bowman had moved up in his brother's organization. There'd be hell to pay when Rocco Bowman found out his little brother was dead and his merchandise confiscated. Spencer couldn't wait. Freddy may have pulled the trigger that killed FBI agent Robert Frankfurt, but Rocco had ordered the hit. Nothing happened in the organization without Rocco knowing about it. When the EMS arrived on the scene, fury melted into the darkness. They needn't have worried about being identified. With their heads and faces covered, none of the victims could identify them. He and Eagle made it to the airport early the next morning. Easing into the airplane seat, Eagle grimaced.
"How are the ribs?"
"I'm fine,"
the soldier said gruffly. Spencer snapped his belt and set his head back.
"You think I was out of line with Link?"
Eagle glanced at him.
"I'm not the one to talk."
Spencer shrugged, glancing over.
"You're right. You're not. Why the fuck didn't you wait for Link and me?"
"Wait?"
"Link's ass was already up there. And since when the fuck do I answer to you?"
He squinted at Eagle.
"You don't, asshat."
Eagle gave a heavy sigh.
"It's a good goddamn thing we've got a break. You both are fucking nuts. Both have a goddamn death wish."
Spencer grunted and tucked his head back against the seat, closing his eyes. He got the job done, and that was what mattered. In the end, the job was the only thing that mattered. He rubbed at his forehead. Okay, not the only thing, but one of the two things that meant the most in the world to him. Chapter 2. Liam.
Where the hell was he?
Liam scoured the crowd, but there was no trace of Spencer. His contact said Spencer would be there, but maybe he was running late. The military function was in full swing at the Cobalt High-Rise Hotel located in downtown San Francisco. The military had reserved it to celebrate Major General Wilson's retirement, along with all the fanfare. People came from around the United States, governors and congressmen, high-ranking military and government officials, plus Secret Service when the president had come and gone. Yet, still no Spencer. Liam tossed back another drink and gave the flirtatious soldier, subbing his bartender, a slight smile, not returning the come-on at all. He kept his private life private and never got involved with anyone he worked with, nor anyone in the military. What about Spencer? Well, that had never evolved into a full-fledged fling. He and Spencer had been casual friends for going on 2 years before he'd made the stupid mistake of thinking they could be more. God, he'd wanted them to be more. He'd been willing to give up everything for Spencer, but his affection was not returned. Now, all Liam could do was try and salvage their friendship.
"Liam,"
a warm voice said, and he turned and took the outstretched hand of his good friend, retired General Luke Ryan.
"Luke,"
he said, using the man's first name since it was just the two of them at the moment.
"I'm sorry to hear about Robert,"
Liam said solemnly. He had never gotten a chance to give his condolences of Luke's FBI friend killed undercover.
"Thank you." Luke tipped his head and his brown hair slipped forward. He lifted a hand to brush it back. "It's strange seeing you with hair," he teased. Luke gave a bark of laughter and his eyes lightened as if grateful for the change in conversation. In the next moment, they were interrupted by Maddox, River, and Blade.
"Colonel," River said and smiled at both him and the general.
"Ah, yes. General, let me introduce you. This is First Lieutenant River Seeger, his partner, Captain Maddox Stone, and Sergeant Blade Hammond."
"This is General Ryan," Liam said.
"Retired," Luke said, shaking hands with everyone. "It's nice to meet you."
The rest of Infinity gravitated toward them as a collective whole, and they were soon surrounded. Introductions were done for the rest of the group with back-clasping and chuckles.
"And I'm sorry," Luke said to Dylan, who had stood apart during the introductions. "I haven't had the pleasure."
The general reached out his hand to Dylan. Dylan, looking rugged and somewhat uncomfortable in a coal-black suit and tie, tipped his shorn head. He slowly reached out and gripped Luke's hand.
"Staff Sergeant Dylan Thorne,"
Dylan's deep voice rumbled out.
"Retired General Luke Ryan."
Dylan tugged his hand away and Luke's smile grew. When Luke's hand was released, Liam noticed he closed it into a light fist.
"How about a round of drinks at the bar, ladies and gentlemen?" Luke offered.
"I could use one,"
Pia smiled.
"I'm down," Oliver agreed. "I'm good."
Liam held up his drink and smiled amidst the chorus of agreements, and soon Luke and Infinity were lost in the sea of people.
"Colonel?"
Liam turned and found one of the coordinators with a very serious expression on his face.
"Yes?"
"There's a woman waiting in reception for you."
"Okay, that was unexpected."
"Thank you," he said, and placed his drink down before he headed toward the reception area.
"Liam!"
He smirked when Marley squeaked his name.
"What are you doing here?"
"Anna said you'd be at the event, so I decided to surprise you."
Even though their marriage had ended years ago, Marley still stopped by his place regularly.
"Anna told you where I was?"
He squinted, but not really in anger. It was more of amused annoyance.
"Oh, pooh, don't be mad,"
she sidled up to him.
"I'll be your beard tonight."
"I don't need one."
And he hadn't for years. He'd stopped hiding who he was the day he'd asked her for a divorce.
"Oh, I know, silly, but I'm all dressed up."
Her eyes were hopeful and only a bit sly. He shook his head and held out the crook of his arm. She squeaked again and bounced closer to clutch at his arm. Marley was a cutthroat and well-respected attorney in the city. She may have looked innocent, but she was a ballbuster in and out of the courtroom. Don't forget, she's a master manipulator. He sighed inwardly and glanced around for Spencer before gazing down at Marley. Her brown hair was pulled up in a top bun, tendrils falling around her face. There was a dash of freckles over her cheeks and nose, and with wide green eyes sparkling along with her smiling pink lips, she was lovely. He'd known her since junior high and had married her right out of high school. A big mistake, but they'd been too young to realize that. Liam guided her to a bar just inside the door, and she immediately ordered a drink and flirted with the bartender. The party was in full swing, and he swept his gaze around the room. Moving his attention to the doorway, he locked his eyes on the door. Marley grabbed his arm, drawing his attention.
"Come on, introduce me to your friends,"
she batted her lashes.
"Why, are you looking for another husband?"
She rolled her eyes, her red lips stretching wide.
"Maybe."
"What happened to Tim?"
He reminded her about her last boyfriend.
"He was a player. I kicked him to the curb when I found out he met his ex-girlfriend for a romp at the beach."
Talk about the pot calling the kettle black.
Marley was hunting husband number three. No, wait. She was currently divorced, so that meant she was looking for husband number four. Liam had been husband number one before he told her he was gay. Back then, she'd been furious with him for coming out, signing the divorce papers, but only grudgingly. It had taken months, but eventually he'd gotten her to see how unhappy they'd been. He'd promised to always be her friend, and she'd eventually accepted that. Once they'd worked the split out, She'd been on to another man by the time the ink had dried on their divorce papers.
"I don't know if I want my friends to be on your hit list," he teased.
She giggle-snorted and tugged him through the crowded room.
"I need a favor."
"What's that?"
"I'm selling my place and there's a buyer, but I don't have another place to stay until then. Can I crash at your house?"
He squinted at her. She smiled up at him. She owned a small condo she'd had on the market for a few months. It wasn't like he didn't have the room, but he really didn't want her at his place. He stalled.
"That would be a hard no," a deep voice said to his right, and he gave a silent sigh of relief.
The normally happy Marley went to full hateful and angry in a nanosecond. It really was amusing to see.
"Not so nice to see you, Logan,"
Marley sneered at his twin. Logan's lip curled back, his hard green eyes locked on Marley.
"Same. You shouldn't be freeloading."
Logan crossed his arms against his chest.
"Unlike you, I'm not a part of the 1%,
she snapped back waspishly.
"Nor are you part of this family."
"Screw you, Logan."
"No thanks," Logan said flatly. "Now, go do your gold digging somewhere else."
"Liam!"
She stomped her foot.
"No, Marley, you can't stay at my house. It was nice running into you," he said with an amused smile.
"Oh, poo. All right,"
she said, completely ignoring Logan and sidled up close to Liam.
"Call me sometime."
Logan snorted and Marley glared at him before turning her back and marching away.
"You scared her. Good."
Liam chuckled. "I wasn't going to let her stay.
I couldn't take the chance. Why do you put up with her bullshit?
She's harmless.
You, brother, are too nice."
"Probably." He grinned and then turned and hugged Logan hard.
"I didn't think you got the invitation."
"I did. I was busy setting up the new office in Denver."
"How's that going?"
"Slow." The lines at the edges of Logan's eyes crinkled. Logan was his identical twin with a few exceptions. Logan's hair was sprinkled with more gray strands than his, and Logan was older by 2 minutes.
"So, how are you? How are the kids?"
Logan turned that all-seeing gaze on him, the kind that only a twin could do.
"I'm okay. The kids are doing good, considering."
"That's good. I'll stop by when I can." "Thanks." Liam smiled at his brother and then ran his gaze over the crowd for the 20th time.
"Where's Spencer?"
Logan frowned, searching the crowd.
"I don't know." His smile disappeared. "I thought you said he was coming."
He mustered a nonchalant shrug.
"I thought so."
"Liam." Liam held up a hand, cutting off Logan's words.
"Hey, you know what they say. If it doesn't show up, it's not supposed to be."
"I don't think that's how the saying goes."
"Me neither."
He grabbed a drink from the bar.
"But I want him and I to be friends."
Logan studied him. Liam ignored his brother's look and took a few sips from his drink.
"So, how's Anna?"
Logan wisely changed the subject.
"You can see for yourself when you come over."
"Fair enough," Logan said with a smile. Liam guided his brother over to meet more people. He made the introductions while hiding his disappointment at Spencer not showing up. Perhaps the information that Spencer was supposed to be here had been incorrect. Liam could admit, at least to himself, that he was jonesing. The need to see Spencer was not only preventing him from completely enjoying the party, but also distracting him from his duties during the day. What he needed to do was get his act together and leave the guy alone. But he knew that was going to be easier said than done.
Chapter 3. Spencer. The fucking house was a mess. His mother's part-time boyfriend, Carl, sprawled in the ripped and faded recliner. The familiar stench of alcohol, bad breath, and filth wafted in the air. The guy didn't say a word, only tossed him an annoyed look when he stepped in front of the television. Spencer did the same and kept on going through the living room. He found his mom in the kitchen with the ever-lit cigarette hanging from her dry, cracked lips.
"Where's Wesley?"
He didn't waste his time with her. He'd spent far too many years trying to get her help.
"Brad is in his room,"
she sneered. The ash hanging from the tip of her smoke fell to the tabletop along with a half a dozen others, missing the ashtray that was piled high.
He clenched his teeth and spun to open the fridge.
"Ain't gonna find nothing in there,"
she snapped, shoving back from the table.
"Done spent all the money you sent."
"I gave you that money to buy food and pay the bills."
"I had to get medicine and essentials,"
she snarled, standing with a grimace, hand to her back, the other lifting to push her matted gray hair off of her dirty, faded house dress. He looked at the carton of cigarettes and the bottles of pain pills. "Food is essential," he growled. "What happened to your disability check?"
"It's gone."
"Clean that shit off the table before CPS sees it." She glared at him and swiped the ashtray filled with ashes and butts to the floor.
"There. Happy?"
"I mean it. Clean this shit up," he snarled, pointing to the pills, and stalked from the smoke-filled room. He refused to call her mom or any other type of endearment. She'd made his life a living hell until he joined the army. That had been his escape. His baby brother hadn't been that lucky.
"Spencer!"
Wesley lunged up from where he was sitting on his bed and hurried into his arms. His brother looked so much like their father, it brought a lump to his throat. He'd been 15 when his big-hearted but irresponsible father was killed on the job. Wesley had been a baby at the time. He wrinkled his nose at the sweat and body odor coming from his brother, but that didn't stop him from crushing Wesley close.
"Hey, Wes, what you doing?"
"Oh, you know, schoolwork."
His brother grinned up at him and pointed to the book spread out on his bed. At 16, Wesley was almost his height. He'd worried for a while that Wesley's growth might have been affected by their mother spending her whole pregnancy high on pills. Fortunately, her habit hadn't affected Wesley's height, nor his mental capacity. Wesley tested high academically.
"How long has it been since you've showered?"
Spencer teased, scrunching his nose.
"The water was turned off again."
The expression in Wesley's eyes was suddenly too old for his age, and contained a worry that shouldn't be there. The worn t-shirt his brother wore hung on his too thin frame. The belt he wore was cinched on the last hole, and even that was not tight enough to keep his faded jeans from hanging on his rail-thin hips.
"Son of a bitch." He pinched the bridge of his nose.
"Don't get mad. It's back on now."
Wesley's voice trembled.
"I'm not. It's okay," he reassured his brother.
"Don't call them,"
Wesley hiccuped.
"I won't," he promised.
He knew his brother was referring to Child Protective Services. What a fucking joke. Wesley needn't have worried. That ship had sailed after the last horrifying experience. The only thing they dealt with now were the impromptu visits from CPS to the house. He looked around at the mess and made a mental note to call the inexpensive house cleaner he'd hired a few months ago for a cleaning. He suddenly squinted at the school books.
"Have you been going to school?"
The amount of work on the bed looked a hell of a lot more than homework.
"I haven't been all week. I can't go like this. I stink."
Wesley shoved away and paced back and forth.
"You could use the gym showers, Wes."
"Not if I don't have clean clothes."
Wesley threw up his hands and left the room.
"Motherfucker," Spencer muttered.
He was caught between a rock and a hard place. If he turned his mother in again, there was no doubt in his mind that Wesley would run away. He couldn't do that to his brother. He couldn't put him through that again. He couldn't keep Wesley at his place because his brother wasn't old enough to stay on his own for the length of time he was deployed. He couldn't afford to hire a sitter and pay a good portion for his mother's expenses and his share of the rent at his cheap apartment on his salary. He headed back to the haze-filled living room to find Wesley fiddling with the television. His mother was now in the other broken-down recliner. Carl ignored him.
"Grab your laundry, Wesley. I'm home for a few days. You can stay with me."
"Yes! Now wait a damned minute,"
his mother started to argue.
"What about us?"
"I guess you'll need to feed yourself."
"You good-for-nothing bastard. Without me, Wesley wouldn't have a place to stay. You put him in that home where they hurt him. That's your fault,"
she hissed with hate-filled eyes. Carl turned up the television with a remote, turning a deaf ear to his mother's wrath. The man didn't live there and pretty much stayed out of their business. More importantly, the guy ignored Wesley. He glared at his mother.
If she'd been any kind of parent...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?